Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin. Hashokel Ayle Ani. A person who gives a full shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, whereby half should be for himself and half should be for a poor person. So they each get their machatzis shekel. Va'adi Shechino, or he does it for himself and his neighbor. Va'adi Ben Iro, or for himself and for a guy in the city. So Putter, in this case, he's exempt from giving a kalbon. But in Hilvam, if he lent it to them, then Chayiv is Chayiv to give a kalbon. So what does this mean? We had mentioned in the previous Mishnah that if you partner up with another guy and you give one full coin, right, then you have to give a kalbon. When you don't give a kalbon is if you're just giving a half a shekel. Because if you give half a shekel, you gave the actual coin, you're fine. If you gave a full shekel and you wanted to cover you and your friend, so technically if you went to a money changer with a full shekel, you have to pay him a kalbon, an extra coin, as a service fee for, you know, splitting the coins in half. Now that you're giving this full coin to the Beis HaMikdash, you compensate the Beis HaMikdash by giving them this kalbon coin that would go, you know, for a service fee. So we said in the previous Mishnah that when two people partner up together to do it, to give one shekel for both of them, they have to give a kalbon because this coin would have to be split. But here what the Mishnah is telling you is like this, is that that's all that when you're covering for your friend, you're laying it out and your friend will pay you back. It's a loan between you and your friend. But if you're giving it for your friend as a gift, you just say, I'll cover you as a gift. Then once you're giving it as a gift, the Chachamim did not require you to give the extra kalbon. So that's the big difference. It's almost exact cases. But over here, he's covering his friend and saying his friend doesn't have to pay it back. I'm gifting it on your behalf. There, you don't have to give a kalbon because he's giving it as a gift. And the Chacham said, okay, we'll waive that, you know, extra charge. But in the previous Mishnah, if he's just doing it, you know, to cover him, but the guy will end up paying it back, then they do have to, then he does have to give a kalbon. Okay. Ha'achin v'hashutz. For the next case, some of the girsas to take out the vav. So it's ha'achin hashutzvin, meaning brothers that are partners. So they inherited an inheritance, a yerusha, from their father, and they're partners now. Shechayavin b'kalbon. So they divided their father's assets. They divided their father's assets, and then they, you know, they partnered together to give one coin. So Varahim Kishar Kol Shoshim, they're like all other partners, and they have to give a kalbon. So they had an inheritance, they divided it, but after they divided it, they gave their coin together as partners, to like all standard partners, and as long as one was laying out the other one as a loan, then they have to give a kalbon like everybody else. However, Peturin mi Maisa Behema, what's interesting is that, let's just say they inherited, you know, a whole bunch of animals. Normally the mitzvah is that every year you have to give Maisa a tenth of the new kosher animals that are born to you each and every year. It's like that from a pasuk in Vayikra. But partners are actually exempt from giving Maisa a tenth on their animals, and even on the children that the animals have, they're exempt. I'm not sure the exact reason, but they're exempt. So, but the Mishnah come and tell you is a side point that the animals that they inherited from their father, they're not obligated to give Maaser on those animals, nor on their children, because they're partners on the animals. Ukeshechayavin b'Maaser behema, but the flip case. So see, in this case, they were obligated to give the kalbon, but they were exempt from Maaser behema. But if they're ukeshechayavin b'Maaser behema, when they're obligated to give Maaser from the animals, meaning, for example, shlo cholku ha'achem b'nitzei Yerushmil, and they never divided the inheritance from their father. So it's considered as if it's still on the father's rishos, the father's domain. So now they're chayv to give ma'aser from the animals that are born from these animals, or, you know, because it's still in the father's domain. Since they never divided it, so now it's still like the father's, and there's no partnership here. So they have to give ma'aser like normal. If these animals give birth to more animals each year, they have to give ma'aser from them. But now, peturim in a kalbon. Now they'll be exempt from a kalbon. It's like k'dina av hashogel ben chasav b'shvil banav peturas matana. So just like we said earlier, when a father gives a shekel on behalf of his son as a gift, he's just laying it out for his son, and his son does not have to pay him back. Then he's exempt from the kalbon. So in this case, so since they never divided the asset, it's still it's like in the father's domain, and when that kalbon is given, so now they'd be exempt from the kalbon. So when you're exempt from when you're chayiv in the kalbon, you're exempt from doing the ma'aser of the animals. When you're chayiv the ma'aser in the animals, you're exempt from the kalbon, because it really is telling you, you know, when the assets were divided between them, they partner up together, or when it was not divided. divided. So that's the scenario over here. And finally, the Mishnah concludes with Kalhu Kalbon. How much is this Kalbon that you have to add in general? Ma'a Kesef, it's a silver Ma'a, which is 1/24 of a Sala. Divrei Meir, these are the words of Meir. The Chum say, no, Chatzi is half of a silver Ma'a, which is 1/48 of a Sala. And we pass from like the Chachamim. So if anybody ever asks you, how much is a Kalbon? It's 1/48 of a Sala. And that wraps up Perek Aleph. Moving right along to Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph, Mitzarfin Shkalim Lidarkonos. So when they used to collect the Shkalim in the cities, right, so they used to send them with messengers back to the Beis HaMikdash. And what the Mishnah is telling you is that they were permitted to swap these Chatzi Shekels for Darkonos. Darkonos were big coins. It was Matbeo Shalzav, golden coins. A Darkon was like two Selahs, like it's brought down in the Sefer of Ezra. And they masa hadarach in order to, alleviate the load that they have to schlep these coins to the Beis HaMikdash so they could combine them into bigger coins to lessen the load. And Kishem show you shofars b'mikdash, just like they used to have these boxes. They were shaped, b'tzura shofars, they were shaped like a shofar, where it was, wide on the bottom and narrow on top in order that people should not be able to stick their hands in and take the money out. And they put the coins in those Shkalim. So this was set up in the Beis HaMikdash. Hachayu shofar but Medina. Also in every single city, there were these, boxes in the shape of a shofar to collect the coins, or the darkonos, and then from them they would send them to the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going through the process over here of the collection. Both in the Beis HaMikdash and in the cities, they had these special, boxes set up for the people to contribute their coins. Now what happens if Bnei Ya'ir, the people of the city, Sheshilchu Eshekleyin, they sent their shekels in the hands of the Shliach, the messenger, and then on the road, v'niglivu osha avdu, they got stolen or they got lost from the messengers. So now what? Im nisrima hatruma. So what that means is that they used to collect the shekels. Shayu kainsim as a shkalim. They used to gather all the shekels. Once it reached the Beis HaMikdash, they would gather it and they'd put it in a lishka, in a chamber special for these coins. And then on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they would fill up three boxes. Okay, and then they'd take out from these boxes the money to buy the karbanos, and they would do this before Shavuos, and they would do this before Sukkos. Okay, so they'd take these coins out of this chamber and start the process. This is what's called Trumas Halishka. So Kshayu Tomim, when they would take off this Truma, meaning when they would take the boxes out and get them ready, so they would have Kavana, the intention to be literal gamal agavoy, to let this box be as if it's also assuming the gavoy, the collected coins. Shanim said that are still in the hands of the messengers. They didn't make it to the Beis HaMikdash yet. And it should also cover the coins that are going to be collected in order that they should be included in the chelek of the karbanos for Klal Yisrael, Av Osen Shadayan Lashaku, even for the ones that didn't even give yet. So what it's saying is that the moment they take these boxes out, even if not all the coins from Klal Yisrael were there, we look at it, if from the moment that the coins were out, so any coins that are, on the way, or they're even going to be collected, let them be considered part of this group, so that they could be a portion of the karbonos when they're purchased for Klal Yisrael. With that in mind, the Mishnah is coming to tell you now that if they set out these coins, right, outside of the Lishka to get the process ready before they were stolen or before they were lost from the messengers, so then the theft or the loss only came after these boxes were already taken out. That means these coins were really part of the boxes, part of the Hekdesh. So what happens is, Nishban, the messengers will just swear like his barm to the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash. They say that it wasn't our fault, we were not negligent, it was a total, unavoidable mishap, and they're exempt, because since the theft or the loss came after they set out these boxes in the Beis HaMikdash, we look at it as if the coins are already part of the group, and therefore they just swear that it wasn't their fault, and they're exempt. And even though normally we don't swear on Hekdesh, the Chalim made a takana in order that, they shouldn't, shlo yazalzal v'shmiras Hekdesh, people should not scorn in the guarding of Hekdesh. So they made this enactment that they could swear on the Hekdesh and to find out what happened. So therefore, this way, everyone's still safe. We look at it as if the coins are part of the communal group, and they have their portion in the karbanos. And if it's lost, it's lost. But since it got lost after they already set aside the coins in the Beis HaMikdash, we look at it as if it's got like these, you know, imaginary hands, that it as if it's the coins were collected already, and we look at it as if they were, you know, in that box already. But if it's the other way around, vim lav, if at the time it was stolen or it was lost, they didn't take out these boxes from the chamber yet, so now they're not really part of the group. So now in Hishban, this is the worst scenario. In Hishban, they have to swear al bnei ir, the people of the city, that it wasn't their fault, it was just an unavoidable mishap. Okay? And but then bnei ir, so the people never really gave their coins yet. Was never part of these boxes that they're taking out of the lishka, out of the chamber, because the boxes are still there. So it's just like regular, it never made it. Now they have to go ahead, everyone's got to give coins again. In this case, they have to give again, because those coins never became a part of the coins in the Beis HaMikdash. So this would be the two different, you know, cases that it could happen in. And then lastly, nimtzu. Now what happens if the shkalim that were lost, they were found? When the thieves that took it returned it, after everybody already gave their replacements, so can they get their money back? No. Elu ve'elu shkolim, both coins, the original coins and the replacement coins, they don't get them back. Elu ve'elu shkolim hem, they're both considered chatzi shekels. Ve'en on lehen l'shan haban, don't start thinking that you're going to get credit for next year. Oh no. So what we do is we don't give you credit for next year. We say the El HaRishon, the first coins, will go for the shekels of this year, and then the latter coins will actually go for towards last year's account. And that's how they would look at this. And that wraps up the first Mishnah in Perek Beis.